This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The psychology behind effective icebreakers. Why some icebreakers open people up and others shut them down. In short, effective icebreakers work because they lower social threat before asking anything of the people in the room. When someone feels psychologically safe, they can contribute, connect, and think clearly. Get the design wrong, and you do not get silence, you get resistance, eye rolls, and a room that closes rather than opens. Definition: effective icebreaker psychology refers to the underlying principles that determine why certain opening questions or activities reduce social anxiety, build trust, and create the conditions for genuine group participation. They work not through charm or novelty, but by addressing the brain's need for safety before contribution. What most people think an icebreaker is for. Walk into almost any facilitation training and you will hear the same story. Icebreakers warm people up. They get people talking. They loosen the mood. That is all true, as far as it goes. But it stops well short of explaining why any of it actually works, or why the same format that succeeds in one room falls completely flat in another. Most people treat icebreakers as social lubricant, something to fill the awkward gap before the real meeting begins. So they pick a question, ask it, collect a few answers, and move on. The icebreaker becomes a ritual without a reason. And when it fails, they conclude that icebreakers just do not work for their group. What they missed was the mechanism underneath. The real job an icebreaker is doing. Here is the truth of it before anyone in a group can think clearly, contribute honestly, or connect with the people around them. The nervous system needs a signal. That signal is safety. Not comfort, not entertainment. Safety. When you walk into a room of people you do not fully know, especially in a professional setting, your brain runs a quick threat assessment. Who here might judge me? What is expected of me? Can I afford to be wrong? That process is fast and mostly unconscious. It pulls cognitive and emotional attention away from the actual purpose of the meeting. You are physically present, but part of your mind is still scanning the perimeter. A well-designed icebreaker interrupts that scan. It gives everyone in the room a low-risk moment to be seen and heard, usually before anything important is at stake. That moment tells the brain the room is safe, participation is possible. Mistakes are not fatal here. That is the signal people need to stop guarding and start engaging. For deeper thinking on how this connects to broader meeting communication culture, this piece on the role of communication in meeting success is worth your time. Why the design of the question changes everything. The effective icebreaker psychology lies entirely in the design of the prompt, not the delivery, not the facilitator's energy. The design. A question that asks for too much too soon triggers the very threat response you are trying to calm. Tell us your biggest professional failure is not an icebreaker. It is an ambush. People who do not yet trust the room will give a sanitized, performative answer, or they will resist entirely. You will learn nothing real, and you will have told everyone present that this is a space where vulnerability is demanded before it is earned. The sweet spot is a question that is specific enough to generate a genuine, individual answer, but low stakes enough that no answer can be wrong or embarrassing. Preferences work well. Light memories work well. Context-specific observations work well. What is one thing you're genuinely looking forward to this week? Is safe and specific. It costs the person nothing, but it gives them something real to say. And when they say it, the rest of the room hears a real human being, not a job title. That is the shift an icebreaker is designed to create. The same principle applies online. Effective icebreakers for team meetings that work in person often need adjusting for a screen, where the absence of nonverbal cues and the presence of digital silence make the threat response even sharper. What happens inside the room when it works? Let me give you a concrete picture. A project team of 8 people sits down for their first cross-functional meeting. Half know each other, half do not. The facilitator opens by asking everyone to share the best piece of advice they ever ignored. The question gets a laugh from the first person who answers. Immediately, the room changes. Someone admits they ignored advice about asking for help earlier. Someone else says they dismissed the advice to slow down before launching. Each answer is a small act of self-disclosure, carefully calibrated so the risk is real enough to be genuine, but low enough that no one is exposed. By the time all 8 have answered, something has happened. They have shared something true about themselves without any of it mattering professionally. They have laughed together, They have seen each other as fallible people rather than unknown quantities. The threat assessment is over. Now they can work. That shift is not accidental. It is a product of a question that asked for the right amount at the right moment. Compare that to a team where the facilitator opens with, "Let us go around and each share our name, role, and what you hope to achieve today." There is no connection in that exchange, only information. The names wash over people. The roles are already on the calendar invite. The hops feel formal and guarded. The threat assessment continues, quietly, throughout the meeting. And managing dominant voices in a discussion becomes harder because the safety foundation was never laid. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Why people get this wrong so consistently. After decades of watching this play out, I've come to believe there are two main reasons the mechanism goes unrecognized. The first is that facilitators focus on the activity instead of the outcome. They search for a clever question or a novel format, something that will feel fresh and energetic. But the goal was never novelty. The goal was safety. When you focus on how the icebreaker looks rather than what it does to the room's psychological state, you tend to choose prompts that perform well in theory, but misread the room in practice. The second reason is subtler. Most of us are not trained to notice the threat response in other people. We see disengagement, eye contact avoidance, brief and hollow answers. We interpret these as personality traits, shyness, unfriendliness, or disinterest. We rarely diagnose them accurately as signs that the room has not yet been made safe. So we push harder, or we give up on icebreakers entirely, when what we actually needed to do was lower the stakes. This is especially visible in remote settings, where silence after a question can feel like failure. The instinct is to move on quickly. But managing silence and non-responses in remote work is a skill that starts with understanding why silence happens, not just how to fill it. The silence is often the threat response speaking. The three things an effective icebreaker must do. Once you understand the psychology, you can evaluate any icebreaker against three criteria. These are not stylistic preferences. They are functional requirements. It must give everyone an equal and visible way to participate. If the icebreaker naturally advantages some people and disadvantages others, such as extroverts over introverts or native speakers over non-native speakers, it reinforces the hierarchy it was supposed to dissolve. Every person in the room must have a genuine entry point. It must signal that no answer is wrong. The question itself has to communicate safety, not just the facilitator's tone. If a reasonable person could fear giving the wrong answer, the design has failed before it has started. It must create a brief moment of genuine human contact, not information exchange, not professional disclosure, something that allows one person to see another person as real. That moment of recognition is what changes the room's emotional temperature. Humor, when it lands naturally, can accomplish all three at once. That is why questions that invite mild self-deprecation often work better than purely positive prompts. There is a reason laughter loosens a room faster than applause. For a careful look at when and how to use this, how humor can ease workplace tension, when used right is a useful companion. Designing icebreakers that actually work. Knowing the psychology is only useful if it changes what you do. Here is how it should change your practice. When you choose or design an icebreaker, start with the room's threat level, not the question itself. Ask how well do these people know each other? What is the power dynamic in this room? What is at stake professionally for the people here? A team of peers in a creative session needs a lighter touch than a mixed group of junior and senior staff in a performance review context. The correct calibration is different in each case. For virtual teams, where the dynamic is even more layered, building communication routines for remote teams can help establish the baseline safety that makes icebreakers more effective over time. Avoid icebreakers that create winners and losers. Trivia formats, competitive games, and ranking exercises activate comparison, which is the opposite of what you need. The goal is shared ground, not a leaderboard. Keep the connection to the meeting's purpose loose, but real. A question that has nothing to do with the work can feel like a detraction. A question that is too narrowly focused on the work can feel like an extension of the professional performance. The best icebreakers sit in the middle, human, relevant, and light. When your virtual meetings consistently open with a well-calibrated prompt, people start to look forward to them. The moment before the meeting starts.
There's something I have observed over a long career that I find difficult to overstate. The first 2 minutes of any group interaction set the psychological weather for everything that follows.
A room that opens with genuine laughter or a quiet moment of shared recognition behaves differently for the next hour than a room that opened with logistics and agenda items. Icebreakers are not a soft skill.
They are a design decision with real consequences for what a group can accomplish. When you understand the effective icebreaker psychology, you stop choosing prompts because they seem fun.
You choose them because they do a specific job. They tell the room it is safe to be human here.
That is not a small thing.
It may be the most important thing you do before the real work begins.
Frequently asked questions. What is effective icebreaker psychology? Effective icebreaker psychology is the study of why certain opening questions or activities reduce social threat and build trust quickly.
When people feel safe and seen rather than judged or exposed, they open up.
The right icebreaker creates that feeling deliberately, not by accident. Why do some icebreakers make people uncomfortable?
Icebreakers fail when they ask people to be vulnerable before they feel safe, or when they feel forced and artificial.
If the question demands too much self-disclosure too soon, or the activity has no obvious purpose, people shut down instead of opening up.
The threat response overrides any good intention.
How do effective icebreakers build psychological safety?
They work by lowering the social stakes.
A good icebreaker gives everyone an equally low-risk way to contribute, signals that no answer is wrong, and creates a brief shared experience. That shared moment tells the brain the room is safe, which makes real conversation possible.
What makes an icebreaker question effective in a work meeting?
The best icebreaker questions are specific enough to spark a real answer, but low stakes enough that no one fears getting it wrong. They invite a genuine detail without requiring deep vulnerability. Questions about preferences, like memories, or current context tend to work better than hypotheticals or deeply personal prompts. How do you design an effective icebreaker for a remote team?
Remote icebreakers need to compensate for missing nonverbal cues and the awkwardness of digital silence.
Keep them shorter, make participation easy and visible for everyone, and choose prompts that work in text or brief audio. The goal is the same: reduce threat and create a moment of genuine human contact.
When should you not use an icebreaker?
Skip the icebreaker when the group already knows each other well, when the meeting is too short or high stakes for it to feel natural, or when people are visibly frustrated and need to get to the point.
A forced icebreaker in the wrong moment damages trust rather than building it.
Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.